Let's open our Bibles this morning. I'd like to begin officially our Christmas days and weeks here with this message this morning. On the first day of December, most of you know that if you've been going to church any time at all, that we're you know, you're probably sure Jesus wasn't born in December. It's more than likely April at that time of year. But since they take this time and set it aside and think about his birth, and you know, we just make the best out of it, basically. There's nowhere in the Bible where it commands us to honor the birth of the Lord. There's also nowhere in the Bible where it commands us not to. So it's just like your birthday. But it's good that we give attention to him coming into this world. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus Christ is my best friend and your best friend. Don't you doubt it one minute. Nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. Nobody will ever do for you what Jesus can do and will do. Don't you ever, young people, don't ever be foolish enough to give up Jesus for a boyfriend. There ain't no sorry boy worth giving up Jesus for. Don't you ever give up Jesus for a girlfriend. There ain't nobody worth giving up Jesus for. Jesus Christ loves you more than anybody ever has, or ever will, or ever could, and his love is unchanging, and his love is unconditional. You don't find that much out in the world, do you? Well, I love you as long as you're this, or I don't, you know, he's unconditional. And he accepts us on the basis of what he did for us on the cross. That's the best news this world has ever heard. Longer I live, the more I realize that everything I can do and will do and have done and ever will do is not enough to make me acceptable to God. But what Jesus did for me on the cross in my place made me acceptable to God. Grab a hold of that. Live your life by that truth. And the Lord will bless you. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. And the Bible said here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. Another one of them great 316s. 1 Timothy 3:16. And the Bible said, this is one of them mysteries. There's seven of them in the Bible. And this is one of them. It's called the mystery of the incarnation. The mystery of the incarnation. What does incarnation mean? Incarnate. That means God was in heaven and he took a body at Bethlehem's manger. He incarnated. He became a human being. So Jesus Christ was not a new person created at Bethlehem. That's what some religions teach. They think Jesus came into being at Bethlehem. Jesus was not a new person created. He was a pre-existent person incarnated. That means he always was, and he just took on a body when he came to Bethlehem. And you know what? That's what this verse talks about. Verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. See that? Without controversy. Ain't nothing to argue about. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now listen, if you got a Bible that don't say God was manifest in the flesh right there, you got the wrong Bible. The NIV does not say God was manifest in the flesh. Most of the new versions does not say. They will say he who was manifest in the flesh. Or something as to not offend people who don't believe that Jesus was God. A compromise from the wrong Greek manuscripts. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's a story there, buddy. That is a story. The Christmas story is what I'll preach about this morning. The Christmas story. It's the most unbelievable story and yet the greatest story the world has ever seen or heard. There's no other story like this story. Introduction this morning. More than 1,900 years ago, over 2,000 now, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived and born during his exile in childhood. He possessed neither name, wealth, or influence. His relatives were inconspicuous, uninfluential, and had neither training nor education. But in his infancy, he startled the king. In his childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the waves of the waters as if pavement, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charges for his services. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of the world cannot contain the books that could be written about that one man. He never wrote a song, but he's furnished the theme of more songs than any other individual that's ever lived on the planet. This book right here has in it this 410 songs just in that one hymn book written about one man. I challenge you, show me 400 hymns written about Shakespeare or Napoleon or Socrates or Albert Einstein or Charles Darwin or Buddha or Muhammad, and I can produce you about 30 more songbooks with about 500 more songs each written about one man. Hey, you ain't no dummy for getting up coming in here this morning. There's a lot more than what you're looking at and what you can see in here today. What you see is some pretty decorations and a nice building and a fine man. No, that's what you see. What you see, there's a lot more than that here, brother. If that's all you see, you come for the wrong reason and are looking at the wrong thing. We can see past me, past all of this, and brother, I'm telling you, we can see him who knew no sin. He's the star of astronomy. He's the rock of geology. He's the lion of Judah and the lamb of the zoological kingdom. He's the revealer of the snares that lurk in the darkness. He's the rebuker of every evil thing that prowls by night. He's the quickener of all that is of wholesome. He's the adorner of all that is beautiful. He's the reconciler of all that is contradictory. He's the harmonizer of all discords. He's the healer of all diseases and the savior of all mankind. People say, well, we don't believe in healing. Listen, all healing comes from the Lord. Anybody who ever gets better of anything, he's the one that does it. It all comes from him. All the good things come from him. The air you're breathing comes from him. The brain you're thinking with comes from him. My feet come from him. My arms come from him. My heart comes from him. Most of all this morning, he's my Savior that died on a cross to keep me out of hell. And that makes him worth living for this morning. All that we give up is nothing compared to what he done for us. I'm going to talk about him this morning just a little bit. I don't have time, but I could brag on him all day long just for what he's done for me. And I'm sure you could too. But basically, let me point out these things as we enter this Christmas season. First, I want to say his birth was virgin. His birth was virgin. His mother, that means his mother, had never been with a man physically when he became into this world. Now the science world laughs at that. They say we're crazy. They say it's scientifically impossible for a woman to have a baby without the physical aid of a man. Now these same scientists believe that we all come from a rock or pre-immortal soup and don't know where the soup come from. And they accuse us of being fanatical. They're the ones with the fanatical cult religion who accepts things by faith. If you believe we all come from a rock and don't know where the rock come from, you really got problems that we won't go into this morning. I'd hate to mess up a good sermon talking about how crazy that is. But I'm going to tell you this morning, his mother was a virgin. Joseph, there is a teaching going around where some are compromised that God acted in the spiritual way with Joseph as Mary. No. Joseph had nothing to do with it. Joseph had never touched her intimately when she would become with child. The angel overshadowed her. God placed him there. And if you don't believe that, people say, well, a belief in the virgin birth is not really necessary. Yes, it's absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. Because if Joseph was his father, he was a sinner just like us. Because Joseph was a sinner. Mary was a sinner. The Catholic Church teaches Mary was sinless. Mary was not sinless. She went and offered the turtle dove for her own sin there in the early chapters of the book of Luke. Mary was a sinner. Joseph was a sinner. But you get your blood from your daddy. And God's blood was running through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the perfect Son of the living God. Somebody said, well, that's ridiculous. You can't have a man can't get here without a father and a mother. Well, I tell you one wilder than that. Adam and Eve got here without a mother or a daddy. What do you think about that? Amen? That's at the all that God made them full grown. And Jesus was born of a virgin. He sure did. That night, them angels popped out up there in that sky, and the choir leader got up and he said, all right, everybody ready? Hit it! And the sound man hit the music. And he even had the right song on. And boy, they all began to sing, and all them angels started in like this, you know, and they were saying, glory to God, in the highest, and peace on earth. Like that. Goodwill toward men. And those angels started singing, and brother, there he laid. There laid that baby in the manger. That was the greatest day that's ever been. I tell you, they're talking about football Thursday and football Friday and football yesterday, and the greatest game that's ever been played was yesterday, and Alabama got beat in the last second or something like that. I'm going to tell you something, brother, that ain't nothing. That ain't even news. That ain't, nobody will even remember that years from now. I'll tell you what they're going to remember one day. That night, them shepherds appeared. Hallelujah, my Savior came into this world. Lord have mercy. That's the best story I've ever heard in my life. There he was, laying there. Oh, come all you faithful. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Silent night, holy night. Oh, come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. You don't know anybody else like that. You don't know anybody else that they started time when he came into this world. You don't know anybody else that the calendar dates from his birthday, do you? You know what they call it before he got here? B.C., before Christ. You know what they call it after he came? A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And that means the year he got here. And they started to change the time. Every atheist, Marilyn Manson, Madeline Mary O'Hara had to, all of them people that hate him, they say, what year was you born? Oh, 1950, 1960, 1980. Where you get that? From his birth. It all revolves around him. You ain't going to get away from him. It all comes from him. All them other religions borrowed their teaching from the Old Testament prophets. It all started right there. And God made the world, and God let his son come into this world born of a virgin. His birth was virgin. Let me say second this morning, his life was virtuous. His life was virtuous. What does that mean? The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin. He did no sin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that ain't you and that ain't me. That ain't your grandma. It's him and him only. He's the only man that's ever lived on this earth that did not do one thing wrong ever. 33 and a half years and never did one thing wrong. You're going to put your life up against that? I meet people once in a while and they say, are you saved? And they'll say, well, I'm living the best I can. I'm trying to make it. I'm telling you, buddy, you better get to work if you're going to work your way to heaven. Listen, if you decided you wanted to get saved and live right when you was 30, okay, and you never committed another sin, which you're going to and you have, but if you did live perfect for the rest of your life, you got all them sins you committed all them back all them years, you got to answer for. One man said, buddy, I've straightened up and I'm living right and I'm going to heaven. Now you might be going to heaven, but it ain't because you straightened up and live right. It's because somebody else paid your price and paid your way in. Hallelujah. Listen, I got to go to Texas next week, not this week, but a week from tomorrow. And I had this nightmare about it the other night. I hope it don't come true. But I got to go to Texas, and I'm going out to a little place right on the other side of Texarkana and preach out there on December the 9th, a week from tomorrow. And you know what I do? I'll go down here to Charlotte, and I'll go down here to the airport, and I'll go down there like that, and I walk up there, and you know what you do? You take your driver's license or something, and you stick it in this little thing, and it prints you out a ticket. My ticket is already bought and paid for, right? You do have that, don't you? Okay, print that out for me this week. I don't know, I tell her to get them, and she gets them on there somehow or another. But anyway, my ticket is already bought and paid for. When I go up to that airport, that desk at that airport, that lady or gentleman back there said, "How you doing, Mr. Castle?" "I'm fine." I take my luggage, I put it on there, I put stuff on my shoulder, and I walk on that airplane, and I sit down. It's already paid for. Somebody else done paid the price. That I don't even know how to get to Texas in an airplane. I don't even know how to get it going. I would like to try it. I'd like to drive on them things on the ground, buddy. You talking about some G-force, brother. Them things got it. I mean, when they hit that gas, it throws you back in the seat in that thing. That's a fun. But I tell you what, when it's taking off, it's like that, man. That's my kind of toy there. But anyway, I don't know how to do that. I can never get it off the ground. Somebody else is flying it. Somebody else. Them people out there in Texas paid for that plane ticket. $300-something. It's all bought. It's all paid for. All I do is sit down, open my Bible, trust the pilot to get me to Texas, enjoy the Lord, and that's just like being saved. I don't go down there and say, "I'd like to get on this airplane, please." "Well, okay, can I see your ticket?" "Oh, I don't have a ticket. My name's Danny Castle." "Well, so what?" And then I'll say, "You don't understand. I'm a preacher." That lady will say, "Well, good, sir. Can I see your ticket?" "But, ma'am, I go to church every Sunday. I try to do right. I don't drink, smoke pot. I try to live right. If I do make a mistake, I ask the Lord to forgive me." She said, "Really, I'm impressed. Where's your ticket?" "Where's your ticket, buddy?" "Without no tickets, you ain't getting on here." "You don't understand. I gave $100 to church last week." She said, "Look, sir, I don't know if you need psychiatric help or what. We don't care what you gave to church last week. We don't care where you live." "I got a King James. I don't care what kind of Bible you got. You are going to have a ticket or you ain't getting on here. Do you understand that?" "Ma'am, I don't have a ticket." "Y'all, call somebody to get him out of here. Cast him in the outer darkness, out in the parking lot. Get him out of here." And there's some people in there that'll do it too. They don't mess around with you. You better watch what you say. I was cutting up in there one time. We was all in line going on an airplane like that. And they wasn't checking people. And I said, "My goodness, man could have a gun or anything. They wouldn't even know it." And I went back there and sat down. In a few minutes, there's about 5 men in suits gathered around me. And they said, "Sir, sir." I said, "What?" They said, "You were overheard to make a comment about having a gun." I said, "I ain't got no gun." And they was going to detain me. I said, "Look, I'm just yakking. I said, I ain't got no gun. There's my suitcase. Look in it. I have no gun. I'm a preacher. And they questioned me and went through my stuff. And they don't mess around with you. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. You ain't going to sneak in heaven. You ain't going to just slide in because you're a good person. They're watching out for people like you. You spiritual terrorists that try to climb up some other way, who try to live right enough to get to heaven. Now, I believe you ought to live right. I believe you ought to live holy. I believe you ought to do the best I can. But, brother, that is not, cannot, will not get me favor in His sight. I'm telling you, His life, His life, His life put on that cross that day is the only reason that I'm accepted to God. I'm accepted in Jesus. Hallelujah this morning. We'll shout about that. Amen. You ought to shout about that, people. You're accepted in Him. His life was virtuous. You say, "Well, I've lived pretty good. I think if anybody goes to heaven, I will." Well, I hate to tell you this, but you ain't going with an attitude like that. You know, His life for mine. I woke up. They don't care how right I've lived. They don't care what I ain't done. I pull that thing out of my pocket and say, here's my ticket. Yes, sir, get on board. The pilot flies it. I don't say, are you sure we're all right? Do you know how to get to Texas? I just sit down there and I trust him to take me. Now, wouldn't I look like some kind of a nut if I went up to that airplane? And them things are big, man. Wing reach from here to over that wall. I ain't kidding you. Just a wing. What if I got up there and I say, all right, this big thing's going to Texas. I'm going to find me a place. And I got on the wing. And I said, all right, I can get right in here somewhere. And I can hang on. Lord help me. I'm hanging on. Get me to Texas. Lord have mercy. That blows me off before we got off the runway. Can you imagine? That's what a lot of people think. They think, well, I'm hanging on to Jesus. Listen, the devil will blow you off before you got home this evening. You ain't hanging on to Jesus. Thank God he's hanging on to you. That's the only reason you got here this morning. That's the only thing that keeps us going. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm glad it's his life. It ain't mine. That's a Christmas story there, people. That's a Christmas story. Are you discouraged? Do you get down and out? Do you start thinking, oh my goodness, I'm the sorriest Christian ever was, and Lord, I just keep failing you, and God forgive me, and I'm just a dog. Do you ever feel like that? Remember, it ain't you. It's him. Sit in your seat and enjoy the flight. Do the best you can and trust him. Number three, his death was vicarious. What does that mean? That means he took your place. He said, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. They took him out there that day. They put up that big old cross. They put him up like this. Bible said they put nails in his hands and in his feet. It's like an electric chair, except way, 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 way worse. You know, an electric chair, I mean, I'd hate to go there, but they just put you in there and they hook all them things up to you and they put that thing on your head and flip it. I mean, that's it. You jerk around for a few seconds, that's it. That's a picnic compared to the death Jesus died. We're talking about hours of suffering. I don't know if you've ever had something huge beat through your hand. I know, I got shot. Right there. That bullet went right through my hand and it went bing. And I'm telling you, I thought I was going to die. I was walking through the house like this, blood dripping all over the place. That was just a bullet went right through my hand when I was 15. I can't imagine something that big as your finger, stuck through there and then you're hanging on it. And they're put up like this and they put a man up like that and they put nails in his hand and he'd push up with his feet to take the pressure off his hands. And his feet would hurt so bad he'd just drop like that and put the pressure on his hands and off of his feet. And then he'd push up like that and put the pressure on his feet. Oh, and a lot of times the pressure was so great that they would suffocate. Their ribs, their rib cage collapsed. Their bowels gushed out. They beat him. They put him. Listen to me, teenagers. Are you listening? I mean, is it a problem for you to get up, come to church? Is it hard for you to want to live right? Let me tell you what somebody done for you to keep you out of hell. Let me tell you what he done for you so you won't burn in hell. They put him down like this. They beat his back. They took them long straps. They go, shut, like that. And they jerk them things. And it's got sharp, like glass and pieces of steel and rock and stuff. And when they jerk it, it cuts you around in here. And a lot of times somebody die. Just bleed death. The Bible said they plowed. Like you took a plow and plowed your garden. That's how they plowed his back. They plowed his back. It shouldn't be a problem for us to want to please him and live. We ought to appreciate that. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's the old, old story that never grows old. Are you callous this morning? Is your heart got hard? Do you not even want to live right? Is the world looking sweet to you? Are you liking the wrong kind of music? The wrong kind of you know what you need? You need a fresh trip to Calvary and see what he did for you and appreciate that you're not going to hell and renew your life to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. His death was vicarious. That means he didn't have to do it. He did it for us. Our place. He did it instead of our place. Like electric chairs have a lot worse. Them songs we sing, down at the cross, where my Savior died. Down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. In this day and time, when the whole world's got their eyes on parades and gifts, Lord, I've seen on the news the other night where people was beating each other in the head and everything. Walmart, somewhere up north, some lady's hitting this guy in the back of the head. Somebody pulled a knife out. I mean, people, and you got to see through all that and see the one that made all this happen and keep your eyes on Him. About this one, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. You know, the greatest day of my life was when I realized that He died in my place. He died in my place. And if I trust Him, just like that ticket, them people bought me that ticket, and that pilot's going to fly that plane. And as far as I'm concerned, it's settled in my mind. My ticket's bought and paid for, and the pilot's going to take me to Texas. I say, Lord, I got to get me a map and figure out. Lord, I'll have to leave Saturday morning, get there by Monday evening to preach. It's, you know, 1,500 miles, whatever how far it is. And I thought, good night, might be 12 or something like that. I thought, great day in the morning. I'll never make it. What if I had to try to get there on my own? I couldn't do it. But they're doing it for me. It'll be a great day in your life when you realize He's doing it for you. A lot of people ain't got no peace because they're continually living a life of guilt, thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. And it's truth. The devil will tell you how it's true. You ain't good enough. That's why He died. If you could be good enough, He wouldn't have died. He just said, be good enough, or you can go to hell. But we can't. So He died for us and put Himself in my place and your place. Hallelujah. That's a Christmas story this morning. Amen. His death was vicarious. Number four, His resurrection was victorious. When He died on the cross, they took His body down and put it in the grave. That ain't the end of the story. It would be in any other religion. Oh, Buddha. Lord, if you know where Buddha was buried this morning, you could go in there and dig down far enough, you'd find his ashes. Just dust. Like dust. There's Buddha. Somebody get a rag and wipe him off there. There's Buddha. That's what's left of him. There's Muhammad. There's every religious leader that's ever been. Dust. If you go to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not one trace of evidence that a body ever decayed in that tomb. Not a fingernail, not a toenail, not a piece of flesh. He came up out of that grave. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. Herod couldn't kill Him. Satan couldn't seduce Him. Death couldn't hold Him. The grave couldn't keep Him. Up from the grave. He come out of that and He said, I'm alive forevermore. That proves He's the Son of God and who He said He was. He lives forever with His saints to reign. They said 500 people saw Him in the flesh with their eyes after He rose from the dead. You know, they had all this stuff about John F. Kennedy on the news and stuff week before last, when it was the 50th anniversary of him being shot down in Dallas. Lord, they've analyzed and analyzed and analyzed. There ain't nothing else to analyze. And everybody's got a theory, and they've seen a man here and seen a man here and a puff of smoke and a grassy knoll and they figured this out and figured that out, and Oswald was just I don't know what you believe about all that. That theory, it ain't no telling, really. Nobody really knows, I guess, that I know of. And they had all that stuff there, and you know what? It'd be a fool to say, I don't believe John F. Kennedy really got shot. I don't believe that. They got it on video. You can see it happening. Oh, they could have faked that. That's the way people are. Abraham Lincoln got shot in the theater. And the guy run to the warehouse. And Kennedy was shot in the warehouse. The guy run to the theater. You know, all the weird stuff like that. There's all kinds of weird comparisons to those two killings. And there is more people. Are you listening? There's more people witnessed Jesus Christ up from the grave in the flesh than saw Abraham Lincoln's assassination. And you know why you've never doubted Abraham Lincoln's assassination? Because the devil don't care if you believe it or not. You've never doubted that. You've never sat and said, I don't know if I really believe that or not. Because the devil don't care. But when it comes to Jesus, you think, you reckon that's really true. See, that demon, that devil's working in your brain. It's right in front of our face, and it's so hard to believe. That's why you sit down and try to read the Bible, and you can't even hardly concentrate. And you sit down and try to read another, and just get right in that newspaper, that sports magazine, just like that. I've seen people try to read the Bible, and they fall off asleep. I just turn the TV on 7 hours and watch TV. It's funny how you can pick up a magazine and read it and read it and read it and read it, and you can't even read your Bible. There's a force. There's demonic powers stopping you and keeping you from Him and from that book. And they're working here this morning. You better believe it. But I'm telling you today, you got to fight through it. His resurrection was victorious. I'm going to stop right there this morning. I'm going to be saying a whole lot more about the Christmas story here in the next few weeks. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. Where do you stand with Him this morning? Where do you stand with Jesus?